Because I looked at that and I went, are you sure? He went, well, you could do this. And I went, no, I'm not doing that. So, but Mike is gracious and he lets me do what I want. Within reason. So we're looking at John 4, verses 34 to 38. Again, a very well-known scripture. And this is all about the whitened harvest. So Jesus said to them, and this is because they're asking him about what food, you know, has anybody brought him food? He must be hungry. And he said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not laboured. Others have laboured, and you have entered into their labours. It's an interesting scripture, that. But it's harvest, and we do 4 really big services a year, and this is another one. We love harvest here. I love the fact that we can do harvest the old-fashioned way, where you've actually got proper produce on here. And just look at it. Just look at how much we have. Now, last week, for those of you who are here, remember, and I was actually advertising this service, I said to you, none of you actually looks underfed. I have to be careful now that I don't look at anybody in particular. But you don't, do you? Yeah. And you're not, are you? Because we have got enough to eat, for which, if there was nothing else, we can give thanks for that. But what else is there? Well, take a good look. Now, I was doing this during the singing, and actually looking, is there anything on there that you wouldn't eat?
Shampoo, yeah, all right, okay.
I was looking, and I thought I couldn't find anything, and then in the corner of my eye, I noticed there's a tin of tuna in there. It's like eating wet cardboard tuna. Disgusting.
You haven't tried that.
But you see, there is a large variety. I mean, it's not like it's all beans, which I wouldn't mind, but it's not that it's all beans. You know, we should be thankful for the variety that God gives us. The amount and the variety.
Yeah.
So have another look. Is there anything there that's your favourite? Let me have a look.
Haribo penguins.
Haribo.
Oh, dear.
Real food, that is. So, baked beans. That's one of my favourites. One of my 5 a day. So, what would happen if there were never any baked beans anymore? How sad. No, he's crying in the corner. How sad would that be? Your favourite food is gone. But you know what? You could at least be thankful that you've tasted it once to find out that it was your favourite. I've never had caviar, so I don't know what that tastes like. Apparently, it's a bit like tuna, which I don't like. So we're going to have a look at this again. Look. How much of this did you grow yourself? Come on, be honest. I know some of us have gardens and do grow our own vegetables, but none of that's here. So nothing here is anything that you've actually produced, unless, of course, you have actually got a canning factory in the bottom of your garden and you've canned your own veg. You see, harvest is a time to be thankful and grateful. Yeah. And not just to be thankful and grateful, but to give thanks to God for it. But you do need to actually consider what God has actually given you. First of all, there's the weather at the right time. anybody's been watching Clarkson's Farm, and I would recommend it, even though the language can be a bit industrial, they all know just how much farmers rely on to have the right weather at the right time, so that when they sow the crops, they don't die in the soil, and so that when they put the fertiliser on, it doesn't wash away. You see, when it goes horribly wrong, the despair that you see on the screen in that series is really tangible. Because it's real. But you know what? Sometimes we just take it all for granted. Hey, we live in England. And sometimes, you know, we have the best summers. Fantastically hot. And it's England, so you will get some rain. And we, you know what, this year, I don't believe we've actually had any crops fail. But if we do, we just get that same produce from abroad. Because it's a global thing now. I mean, how else do you think you get strawberries in winter? We don't grow them. When I was a boy, I don't ever remember having strawberries in winter. But now, of course, we can. Now, of course, we couldn't have a harvest without the work that goes on beforehand. You see, quite often, when we do a harvest sermon, we talk about the parable of the sower, which is found in Matthew 13. So I'm just going to read a little bit of that here. It's someone's not moved it. This is Jesus speaking. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. There was lots of seeds sown. There must have been, because it went everywhere. I mean, he wasn't just drilling it and then planting a seed in like they do today. He was throwing it. And it went on rocks, it went on bad soil, it went on good soil. Have you ever thought where the seed comes from? How comes he had so much seed? Now we know where seed comes from, but the farmer has to know that to keep some back for the next year's planting. But it wasn't just a few seeds. It was an abundance of seeds. It must have been abundance of seeds because a lot of it got lost in the rocks and amongst the weeds. The places where it just doesn't flourish. Actually, interestingly, when you look at the scripture itself, the next verses, and the disciples came to him and said to him, "Why do you speak in parables?" And Jesus then had to go on and explain the parable of the sower to the disciples. And that made me curious. But then I actually thought about it. And when you think about who the disciples were, you had four fishermen. Okay, so who were the four fishermen?
Peter, James, John and Andrew.
You had a warrior, Simon the Zealot. You had Matthew, who was a tax collector. So you had a whole group of these disciples, and none of them were farmers. That's really interesting. And you think about it like that. But in the parable, Jesus says the seed is the word of God. Now that's something just to think about on its own. That seed that we sow is God's word. We've got a lot of it. When you think about it, we've got 66 books worth of seed that we can actually sow. So we're never going to run out, are we? Because there are sometimes when you're sowing the same seed again and again and again. And you see, when you sow that seed, that's where it descends, depends upon how it's actually received. When a seed falls on good ground, for example, the Bible tells us that it multiplies 100, 60, or 30 times what was planted. If you've ever grown any crop at all, you will know that if you grow tomatoes, you don't just get one tomato on a plant. Mm-hmm. Unless you're me, of course. No, it's not that bad. There's two. No. But it is always more than you actually plant. What is the seed that Jesus is talking about here? The seed that Jesus is talking about is God's word. Where is that planted? It's planted in your heart. You hear that good news of Jesus. At some point in our lives, hopefully, we have all heard the good news of Jesus. And if you haven't, come back next week, because you'll hear it again and again and again and again. The idea is that this good news actually sticks. That we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour purely in the knowledge that we will spend eternity with him. Now that is great news. That is a great way to think, that we will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. That we're not going to a lost eternity. But when you look back at our other passage, which was in John 4, and I will find that too, Jesus isn't talking about sowers here. He's talking about reapers. Because what Jesus is saying in here is that the fields are ripe for harvest. But look at what he says here. Verse 35. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes a harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. What does that mean? What does it mean? Well, in a sense, I suppose, is that when you are actually sowing, you are actually reaping. You don't go out one day to say, I am going to save somebody, or I am going to share the good news so that this person can come into the kingdom of heaven. They may already have the good news. Yeah. They already may have the seed in their hearts that's been sown. Yeah. You may end up actually going to somebody and doing that sowing. So this idea that actually there's a season to actually sow God's word and there's a season to read God's word actually overlaps completely. I mean, you know, the fact that Jesus is saying here, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for the harvest. But it's 4 months till harvest, Jesus. Is it? When I go out each day, do I go walk in the streets preaching God's word? Does any of us go out preaching God's word? There's a lot of shaking of the heads. I haven't seen anybody nodding yet. However, you do go out.
Surely we do.
And you do see people. It's not necessarily on a daily basis, but you do see people. So how can you reach people with this big bowl of sowing seed that you've got here in one arm? And that's how they had it. So turn this upside down. It's almost like they had a big bowl of seed and they were throwing it out. So you're going out, imagine you're going out tomorrow morning and you've got your bowl of seed in one arm, you've got your sickle in another. I can't think of any other word to use than the sickle. I know it has interesting connotations, but how else would you feel that you've got in one hand you're sowing and in one hand you're actually reaping? Do you do that? No, I don't do that. What do you do? Well, you just be you. You just be you. Because within you, if you are a Christian, God's love already exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what you're doing is sharing that love. Sometimes it can be anything, just a smile. And you can reach somebody with a smile just as easy as I can bash you over the head with 12 scriptures and make you. I just reach you with a smile.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is just that uplifting moment where you go alongside somebody and you put an arm around them and you say to them, it's okay. God loves you.
Yeah, it's good.
Sometimes you do say, do you want me to pray for you? Do you? I'll pray for you. And remember, it's God's that's working in you that allows you to do that. It's nothing of you. It's God working in you, allows you to actually do that, allows you to actually go along and pray for them. I've actually got written down, or you could sing to them. Now, I've done that in the past. It doesn't always go down very well. Sometimes it does, but it doesn't always. On Wednesday, you may find out if you come along just how well that goes down. Or are you one of these people who just walks around, not making eye contact, with your phone in your hand, looking down? I did write down on here, you know, looking at your shoes. Sometimes it's difficult to look at your shoes when you're my size. But you've seen it, haven't you? People walking around, just looking at their phone, going, wow, this TikTok's good, isn't it? Perhaps what you really need to be doing is actually looking up.
Yeah.
Now, for the last several weeks, it's been on my heart to tell people to stop looking down at the mess that the world is in and start looking up to the glory that God is.
Yeah.
And that's really, really important. So instead of actually looking at your phone, perhaps when you actually talk to somebody, they might start to relate to you. And they might say, do you know, are you that guy who goes to that church on Longfield Hill? They might ask you, what's it like? It's a church. It's God's house. Yeah, but what's it like? What are the people like? What's the pastor like?
Yeah.
I'm speaking.
Answers on a postcard, please. And that fat bloke who sings really loudly. I meant me, not you. You see, you may not sow, you may not reap, but God will give you the opportunity if you ask him. Now, there's a good friend of mine who was actually out last week delivering leaflets, and she asked God to give her an opportunity to talk to people. God didn't let her down. She wished she hadn't asked, didn't you?
Yes, I do.
Verse 38 says this. I sent you to reap for that which you have not laboured. You're going to go out and talk to somebody. You may never have talked to them before. But you may be that person who says to them, oh, you're thinking about coming to church, come to mine.
Mm.
Come to my church. Yeah? By the way, it's not my church, it's God's church.
Amen.
Absolutely got to say that. It's God's church. So I've sent you to reap for that which you have not laboured. Others have laboured, and you have entered into their labours. This is a shared experience, church. This is a shared experience. It's not just me looking at that and going, wow. We should all be looking at that and going, well, and giving thanks to God for that bounty.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, harvest is not just today. It's every day.
Mm.
And in another sense, we're all reapers, you know. See, you don't know what seeds have been sown in somebody's life. You may never know. So how can you? You might just be that person in the right place at the right time to offer the right word, the kind word, the smile, the gentle arm around the shoulder. You may have the handkerchief that wipes the tears from the eyes. You may be the person who actually raises that person's head so that instead of looking down at their troubles, they're looking up. Now, Pat's not with us today, and it was devastating news when we found out just how badly she's injured. But we've had messages from her son, and her son says, yes, she's in pain, but she is cheerful, isn't it? And then, you know, when you imagine that you've got a broken elbow, you've got broken shoulders, you've got a broken back, you've got cracked ribs, that's the sort of pain that she's in, and yet she's cheerful. When we know that Pat's got God in her heart.
Amen.
Now, I wouldn't be at all surprised if she's actually witnessing God's love to those people. So in conclusion, I want to go back to where we actually started, looking at this display, seeing what I can take home. No, I didn't say that. Oh, isn't it? Oh! Right, okay, careful. Well, I want you to imagine that we now start to take some of the things away. The strawberries, the apples, the oranges. There's no strawberries, by the way.
No.
No, that's because we only grow them here in summer and then we import them. Pick something that you actually like. Now, then, I went for these before. Now imagine that that is a person who could have been here. They could have heard the good news of Jesus. But when the call came for you to talk to them, you didn't. You walked away. Makes you think, doesn't it? I'm not going to talk to that person because I'm scared. Well, don't worry about that because God will give you the words to actually say. You see, we all have a calling. You may not know it, but you do. Go into all the world and preach the good news, it says in Matthew 28. It doesn't say, and if necessary, use words. Because if you've got the Spirit of God inside you, you don't necessarily need the right words. You just need to be good at actually saying, just being yourself. Yeah? St. Francis of Assisi said that, go to all the world and preach the good news, and if necessary, use words. Don't worry about getting the words wrong. It's the sentiment that actually counts. See, God is with you. Always. Always. See, you're not doing this alone.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you talk to people, you talk, think about the fact that actually, Jesus is with me. I'm not doing this alone. I don't have to worry. If I make a mistake, you'll back me up. So as I conclude the harvest message, I just want to pray, and I want to give thanks, because it's all about giving thanks, Harvest. We give thanks all the time, but visually we've got it in front of our eyes, that there's stuff here that makes us think about other stuff, that makes us think about other stuff, that we can turn and say, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for the weather. Thank you, Lord, for the rain at the right time. Thank you, Lord, for the people who harvest this stuff. Thank you, Lord, for the people who brought this stuff. Let's pray. Father, it's just a big thank you, really, harvest time. It's just a big thank you, Lord, that you have given us so much. And so much, Lord, that we can give it away. That there is a need out there that we can fulfill. Mm-hmm. We don't know why there's a need, but Lord, it's never been any different. There's always been a need of some description, but it's always been up to us as individuals, us as a church, us as a nation, to actually fulfill that need. Help us, Lord, to have the right heart when it comes to giving, that we actually give out of our abundance. Lord, thank you for everything that you do for every single person in this room. And for those of our family who are not here, thank you, Lord, for them. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will do good with this food. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.